Welcome to Truth for Life. This coming Sunday, many of us will set aside time to celebrate our mothers. So today, Alistair Begg has a special message for all those of you who are listening who are moms, to help you understand what the Bible says about your unique God-given role. He's titled this message, Mother's Day Questionnaire.
The Bible makes it very, very clear, in fact, in the fifth commandment, that we are to honor our mothers. We're to honor our fathers as well. We recognize that, but mothers are to be honored. Solomon, when he writes the book of Proverbs, makes it really clear that when a son or a daughter listens to their mother, obeys their mother, then they bring honor and glory to their mom. But whenever a son or a daughter denies the role that God has uniquely given to their mother, when a son or a daughter is left to itself, it will bring disgrace not only upon itself, but upon its mother, upon its home, and upon those who are responsible with it and for it. Given that the Bible has so much to say about the nature of motherhood, it's surely important that those who profess faith in Jesus Christ should lead, as it were, in a culture such as our own, in the establishing and in the modeling of a biblical pattern of motherhood. For those ladies who would be prepared to respond to that kind of challenge, is to take on a task that is akin to swimming against a 10-foot swell as it comes against you in one of the major oceans of our world. It is to swim against the prevailing tide of so much that is represented as popular opinion, so much that is this morning worldly wisdom. And the consistent denigration of motherhood in our culture is at its most effective when it is subtle rather than blatant. Because after all, saying hi to your mom is something that every professional footballer does whenever the camera goes on him. Being nice to your mom and going to the card shop this weekend is as much a part of America as is apple pie and the stars and stripes. So therefore, any attempt to undermine the strategic place of motherhood must not come blatantly, as it were, a full frontal attack, but needs to come very subtly. May come even in such disguise as the governmental provided daycare situations, which in endeavoring to underpin motherhood, begin to dismantle the very responsibilities of a mom by making it possible for her to fulfill a role that God never ever intended. And I'm speaking now not of single mothers with pressing problems of finance and the absence of a father. With all of this by way of background, I want to give you a Mother's Day questionnaire. You can write these questions down. They're very simple. The questionnaire is based on 2 Kings 4, verse 26. You can read the story of the Shunammite's son who was restored to life. And in the midst of the story, the servant of the man of God, Gehazi, says, "Look, there's the Shunammite." This is in verse 25. And Elisha replies, "Run to meet her and ask her 3 questions. Are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right?" Now, that's the Mother's Day questionnaire. I want to turn it on its head and change the wording ever so slightly. The questions are these. Are your children okay? Is your husband okay? Are you okay? First of all, then, are your children okay? Well, you say, that's a pretty broad question. Can't you be a little bit more specific? Well, I'm glad you asked. Yes, I can. There are 3 tests that I'd like to use with you. Number 1 is what I've referred to as the protection test. Are your children okay? Take the protection test. One of the loveliest pictures of protection, which Jesus was happy to use to describe of his own compassion, is that of a hen with her chickens. If you think about it, moms, you are the whole protection thing from day 1, right? After all, the child is born in you. God has determined that it would be within your frame that child would be protected from the moment of conception. And that what is pictured in those 9 months of pre-delivery is virtually a picture of so much that will then follow in their early years. That child is dependent upon you in a way that they are dependent upon no one else. And while the father is to provide protection overall for the family and for his wife, nevertheless, it is to the mom that the challenge falls of providing this kind of protection. The prophet Isaiah says, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born?" And the rhetorical question suggests the answer, no, she can't. There is no way in the world, mums, that you will be able to protect your children unless you are prepared at certain points in their lives to make them unequivocally different from every other child around. And the fear of doing that, which militates in the heart of a mother, may introduce terror to our children, no matter how much they may demand that that may be the case. Question, mom, are you prepared to make your son or daughter different in order to protect them? Are you prepared to go through the Friday night dance routine and say no if you have to? Are you prepared to determine what is in and out in terms of what goes in to their moral consciousness and is stamped in their computer images? Protection, protection. Tough enough, a mother tough enough to say no to the potential of harm, tough enough to say yes to the potential of benefit. But when I tell you about protecting them, I need to ask you this question. Are you willing to protect them from overprotection? Are you willing to protect them from not protecting them too much? Because if you protect them too much, you're going to harm them rather than help them. You cannot wrap your children up in cotton wool. You cannot stash them in a wardrobe. You cannot keep them from the world. You cannot remove them from the lifestyle, no matter what you endeavor to do with them. Hey, mom, are your kids okay? How about the protection test? How about, secondly, the presentation test? 1 Samuel in chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2, Hannah, the great story of Hannah, how, like so many, some who are here today, she longed for children that she didn't have. She was slighted for this. She knew the pain of it all, and eventually the Lord honored her cry, and she became the mother of a boy, Samuel. And her desire was for his presentation. 1 Samuel 1, verse 22. Elkanah has gone on to make the annual sacrifice to the Lord and fulfill his vow, but Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always." I will take him and present him before the Lord. Can I ask you, Mom, have you offered your children up to the Lord? Have you presented your children to the Lord? For if we do not by design offer them there, we will by default offer them somewhere else. Our children will worship. The question is, where will they worship? At what shrine will they worship? And to the mother falls the privilege and responsibility in large measure of determining the nature of that presentation. And you need to read on in the story of 1 Samuel to discover all that happened as a result of that. 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 21, the result was that the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. There is not a child on the face of the earth who ever grew up in the presence of the Lord by accident. There are very few children that I know that are so zealously keen to be involved in children's ministry and youth ministry and any kind of ministry. They're about as keen to be involved in that, especially if there's challenge attaches to it, as they are to visit the dentist or to attend the summer program of math curriculum. So if they are to grow up in the presence of the Lord, then someone's going to have to present them in the presence of the Lord. And guess who's going to have to present them in the presence of the Lord? The mom and the dad, but we're talking moms this morning. And the boy grew in the presence of the Lord, and it says in 1 Samuel 3, verse 10, and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. He became famous. Maybe you'll have a boy or a girl that becomes famous. The question is, what will they become famous for? Maybe they're famous already in their school. What are they famous for? And it spread far and wide that Samuel was attested as one who followed the Lord. Are your children okay? The protection test, the presentation test, the provision test. Still in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 19, a lovely verse. Each year, Samuel's mother made him a little robe and took it to her. It's an interesting little detail, isn't it? I love those little details. Each year, his mother made him a little robe and took it to him. Now, only mothers know the psyche that's involved in that creation process. That's why one of the great lacks in our culture are young women who know how to knit and know how to sew. All they know how to do is buy. Now, I don't mean that as a judgment. If somebody does not teach them how to knit and how to sew, then all that they will be left to have as an alternative is purchase. And what was represented in this robe was probably far more significant than the robe itself. The robe itself would wear and go, but the love and the care and the insight and the prayers and the longings of the mother for her boy was what was represented in the creative process year by year. Many of us have a longing in our hearts. If only we could get the chance to say a few things to our mothers that we never had the chance to say. Somebody said to me this morning, as soon as I walked in, won't you be sensitive today to people who've lost their moms? And I said, yes, I'll try my best. And so there are some who wish they could say to their moms, you know, one more thing, thank you for this or that. One of the things I'd like to say is this. Mother, thank you for providing my needs and only some of my wants. Thank you for not inverting it and providing my wants and only some of my needs. Hey, moms, are your children okay? Protected? Presented? Provided for? Are your kids okay? Secondly, is your husband okay? Oh, you say the average man is 38 around the chest, 32 around the waist, 95 around the golf course, and a general nuisance around the house. I mean, what do you actually mean? I mean, you may have one of those husbands who has started to take over everything in your life. Now he goes to the supermarket for you. He goes around with a calculator and coupons, and he's trying to save you. He just can't believe that someone can spend $16 a minute without using a list. He doesn't understand that shopping is meant to be a spontaneous, compulsive, madcap adventure. He just can't get with it. Guy told me the other day, he said, hey, you hate this shopping, don't you? I said, no, I don't mind it. He said, oh, I hate it. He said, I drive my wife to the mall, park the car, sit in the car, sleep. Let her go ahead. I said, oh, that's nice, hey, you know, spend some quality time, eh? So is your husband okay? You say, ask him. Well, actually, in a very subtle way, I am asking him. Is your husband okay? What about the protection test? Is he protecting you from the fierce attacks of those who would seek to belittle you as one who, because you've committed yourself to motherhood, is apparently doing nothing significant with your life? Is he protecting you from the snare of loneliness by his demonstrable commitment to be your pal? Pal being a protective, present, attentive lover in all the dimensions of love. Is he your pal? Do you know he's your pal? Or does he just tell you he's your pal? Does he give you a card and then live in denial of it? Does he give you a call and never come home? Is he there to protect you from loneliness, from emptiness, from discouragement, from pain, from frustration, from feeling as though the world is about to come right down in on top of your head? How's he doing? Is your husband all right? Is he protecting you from the temptation to self-despair and to failure? Is he commending you in the role that you play as a mother? What about the presentation tests? How does he present himself to you, Mom? Does he present himself to you in the way that he was told to in Ephesians chapter 5? To present himself to his wife in the way that Jesus Christ presents himself to and for the church, namely purposefully, sacrificially, selflessly, and exclusively? Do you know that your husband only has eyes for you? Do you know that he is radically committed to faithfulness? Do you know that he is prepared to do what every mom needs him to do for her kids, namely love her with a passion, so that those children may never ever have cause to doubt the security and the stability of that home? Is your husband okay? You say, my husband isn't even a believer. Well, that's all right. Make sure that you live before him in such a way that it intrigues him, and that slowly and gradually he comes to open up the scriptures for himself and reads the Gospel of John to find out if his wife has really gone nuts or if she has laid hold of the answer to life. What about in terms of the provision test? What kind of provision is your husband making for you? Is he providing for you emotionally? Or does he not talk? Oh, I don't mean does he talk about the kids. Does he talk about whether they had ensemble? Does he talk about who's picking them up? Does he talk about what happened with the checkbook? Does he talk to you? Does he sing to you? Lean on me. When you're not strong, I'll give you help. I'll help you carry on. Or are you out there on your own, Mom? Does he provide for you physically? Does he provide for you financially? Does he provide for you mentally? Is he prepared to read a book, although he doesn't like to read, just because you like to read? Or does he tell you, hey, you read the books in this house, just pray see them for me, just tell me what the bottom line is. I'm too busy. Then he's a Philistine and a vagabond. And you should hit him over the head with a large book when you go home. We have no time left. Are your kids okay? Is your husband okay? Finally, are you okay? Take the protection test. The psalmist says, your truth always protects me. Your truth protects me, says the psalmist. Jesus prays in John 17 and he says, Father, I protect them. I protect my children. I'll protect the moms. I'll protect them from the lights that dazzle, from the voices that tempt, from the lies that accuse. I will protect them. Moms, your protection is wrapped up in the Lord ultimately. No matter how good a job your husband is able to do, one day he'll be gone. What about the presentation test? Have you made a presentation of yourself lately to the Lord in the task of parenting, in the task of motherhood? You prepared to say with Mary when she found out the news of the arrival of Christ, I am the Lord's servant, may it be to me as you have said. Are you prepared today on this Mother's Day Sunday, just in the silence of your heart, to make a fresh consecration to the task of being a mom? Even though the world thinks it nuts, even though you may not get the applause that you could perhaps benefit from, even though you may not have the support that you might long for, are you prepared today to say, Lord, you are my protector, and I am here to present myself to you today. In the few years that I have to impact my kids, I present myself to the high calling of being a mom. And what about the provision test? You don't live for kisses, do you? You don't live for candy. You don't live for cards. You don't live for bouquets. If you're a godly woman, you live to see your children walk before the Lord in righteousness. That's what you live for. All of a godly woman's hopes in this world are bound up with the children of her motherhood. You will not be remembered by your kids because of the job you did in the marketplace of life. Unless you did it because you were a single parent and had no other way to provide for your children, they will thank you for making that kind of commitment. Success in the realm of mothering, it seems to me, comes as a result of giving yourself. I don't want to be crude in any way at all, but in the process of childbearing, there is a major giving of yourself. In the process of child feeding, there is a major giving of yourself. In the process of child rearing, there is a major giving of yourself. Your body will never look the same as it did. And at the end of the day, the memories your children cherish will not have to do with your qualifications, your education, your societal contributions, nor their bikes, nor their little this and that, but their memories will be because you passed the provision test, you provided yourself for them. A woman may retain her figure by refusing to bear a child. A woman may sit in abundance and in affluence by refusing to care for a child. Or a woman can give herself up to the most significant responsibility on the face of the earth in the scheme of human relationships. She can be a mom. Most of the beautiful things in life come by twos and threes, by dozens and hundreds. Plenty of roses, plenty of stars, sunsets, rainbows, brothers and sisters, aunts and cousins. But only one mother in the whole world. Take the Mother's Day questionnaire. Your kids okay? Is your husband okay? Are you okay? I hope you'll have a great, great Mother's Day.
An encouraging word about the high calling of motherhood from Alistair Begg. You're listening to Truth for Life. It's a privilege to open God's Word with you every day. And to make listening as convenient as possible, we're grateful to be able to make this program available in a variety of formats. In fact, you may be listening today through the podcast, using our mobile app, or on YouTube, or maybe even Amazon's Alexa. If so, did you know Truth for Life is very likely available on a radio station in your area? You can check times and stations at truthforlife.org/stationfinder. All these options are provided by your fellow listeners, people who donate to support this program. If you've been strengthened in your faith as a result of Alistair's teaching, we want to invite you to pass the gift forward to someone else by donating today. When you do, we want to say thank you with a helpful book, a 31-day devotional on the subject of anxiety. As God's children, all of us have the privilege of bringing our cares before the Lord in prayer. So why is it that so many of us continue to struggle with perpetual worry, even panic attacks? Author and Christian counselor Paul Taujas addresses this question with tenderness and biblical truth, identifying the source of our fears, the key to releasing them, and then the joy that comes from lasting peace. Request your copy of this freeing devotional when you give today. Go to truthforlife.org/donate. Or call 888-588-7884. Be sure to ask for the Anxiety Devotional. And with the weekend ahead, don't forget Alistair's teaching at Parkside Church is streamed live most Sundays. It's a great way for you to supplement what you're already learning in your local church. To find out if Alistair will be teaching this weekend, check the schedule at truthforlife.org/live. I'm Bob Lapine for Alistair Begg and all of us at Truth for Life. Hope you're able to relax and rest this weekend as you spend time with your church family. And have a happy Mother's Day. Join us on Monday as we begin a new study in the book of Jonah titled Man Overboard. Today's program was furnished by Truth for Life, where the learning is for living.